last several months, just a big undertaking, preaching through the Psalms, and we've made our way to chapter 15. I've kind of held off preaching this for a service or two, but I feel like the Lord's led us this way tonight. You pray for me. About time we got started, man, felt like somebody hit me in the head with a 2x4, so I'm going to preach through a headache. I preach till I pass out or till I get feeling better, one or the other, all right? Stand with me, if you will. So good to see you tonight. Yeah. House of the Lord, I appreciate you being here. And I know some of y'all is just fighting the devil just to get here. And we appreciate you just plugging away, getting here. And again, I don't want to waste your time. I want to study the Word of God together. Let's see what the Lord has said to our hearts this evening. Psalm 15 is a psalm of David. David said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us and give us exactly what we need tonight. Father, we come to you this evening so thankful to be in the house of God. Lord, I want to thank you brought us this way, Lord, in this hour for this time and, Lord, for a purpose. God, I pray the next few moments that you'd help us, Lord. You know, Lord, how we feel in body and, Lord, the touch that we need there. I pray that you'd give it. And then, Lord, you know how these have come in tonight, Lord, physically or emotionally or spiritually. You know where they are. God, I pray that you'd meet us, Lord, exactly where we are, get us where we need to be. And Father, I pray this evening we'd all leave stirred and challenged and changed by, Lord, the deliverance of truth and preaching to our hearts. God, I pray we'd be made better tonight. Lord, be able to walk out of here closer to God than we've been in a long time. And Lord, all that you do, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We'll preach from Psalm 15 tonight. According to verse number 1, as we've read it this evening, David said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? We find, according to this verse, that the context of this psalm is David's desire to know from the Lord who might abide and dwell near the Lord. David is interested in how then a man, or what kind of a man, or what man it is that is going to dwell and abide in the presence of God. I like that question tonight. I believe in these last days, those are important questions to ask and important truths for you and I to know. What man, what woman, what boy and girl, what teenager is going to be able to abide in the tabernacle of God, and who's going to be able to dwell near the presence of the Lord in His holy hill? The word abide in this verse, listen this, it means to turn aside from the road for lodging or for any other purpose. The word dwell that David uses here means to reside or permanently stay. And David is asking here who is going to find a place near the Lord along life's way, who is going to be able to turn into the Lord and find that the Lord is very near to that individual. He says in the word dwell, he's asking who is going to be able to reside and live their life in fellowship and in nearness and in closeness to the Lord. And so the word abide and the word dwell, both these words give the idea of nearness and closeness to the presence of God. David is saying, Lord, I want to know, how can a man get near God? What kind of man is it that's going to be able to abide in closeness to the Lord? Boy, I want to be near to Him this evening. And as you study the earthly ministry of the Lord, we see it exemplified in the very lives of the disciples. You know, there's 12 disciples, and 11 of the 12 of the disciples the Lord chose in His earthly ministry. They had that salvation relationship. And my friend, they knew they had entered into, if you will, the vicinity of the Lord and His grace and His nearness. But we find that 3 of those 11 that knew something about being saved, my friend, they went a step further and had a sanctified relationship with the Lord. And so we see there is a progression that a child of God can enter into in drawing near to the Lord. But we know of those 3 that had the sanctified relationship. There was 1 that had a special relationship, so much so that he laid his head on the bosom of the Lord and is referred to, even in his own gospel account, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so, my friend, we understand tonight we can be saved tonight and in a sense be near to the Lord in that aspect of our relationship with Him. My friend, there is more to be had, and thank God we can get nearer to the Lord in a sanctified relationship. And even beyond that, there is the special relationship as John had, and I'll not preach on that this evening. It's another message. My friend, you get so near, you get answers when nobody else can. You get jobs to do that the Lord don't give anybody else. And David is asking, what is the man? Who is the man and who is the woman? It's going to be able to get near and close to the presence of God. Amen. Can I put it this way? David is asking, Lord, what kind of a man, what man and what woman is it? It's going to be able to rub shoulders with the Lord God of heaven. Amen. I want to rub shoulders with Him tonight. I don't want to be at a distance from Him this evening, and I'm not being irreverent tonight to use it in this term. Amen. You understand what I'm saying tonight? To rub shoulders with Dean tonight means I got to come off the platform and I got to close the gap, and he's got to let me get near him. Amen. If we're going to rub shoulders. And so if the Lord help me, I don't know how much preaching I'll do this evening, but I want to study this psalm with you tonight with the thought in mind on what David said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill, and preach on the thought tonight, rubbing shoulders with God. Rubbing shoulders with God. I want to get to where God is. When David said in verse number 1, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? He's saying, I know that God is in his house. I know that God is there. And I want to get where God is so I can rub shoulders with the Lord. And he said that he's interested in a man that's going to be able to dwell in the holy hill of God. He's literally talking about a throne room that is in heaven. He's saying, I know that God is there, and I know where I can find God, but what kind of man is it? What kind of woman is it that's going to be able to rub shoulders with God in the throne room? And so tonight, I want to consider that, if you will, consider these questions by way of introduction tonight, as David is asking, my friend, these 2 questions. I think these 3 applications we make to him this evening, and we get down in our passage. Now, you may want to say, man, real quick, oh, it's about ready to take a nosedive, but, hey, man, notice with me, I think there's application that we could say tonight, that at David's questions give to you and I about rubbing shoulders with God in the matter of friendship, being the friend of God. Amen. I want to be the friend of God. I want to be known as the friend of God in his earthly ministry. Christ, it was said of it, that this man is a friend of publicans and to sinners. I'm glad that the Lord knows how to be a friend to sinners. And the Lord tonight wants to be my friend, and he wants me to be his friend. We know what James said to the early church in the
believers that were there. He said, well, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity against God. My friend, you can be saved and still not live as the friend of God. But when David said, I'm interested in how a man abides in God's tabernacle and how a man dwells in his holy hill, I think that's inferring a friendship with God. Amen. God opening himself up and God letting you come in and God letting me come in and rub shoulders with the God of glory. Amen. Is that not what Abraham did in his earthly life? My friend, the Bible said that he was a friend of God. And God, my friend, would come down to Abraham and Brother A.L., they'd walk together God would come down it and allow Abraham to know something about a friendship that God desires to have with his own children and aid. Amen. Listen, I thank God for my earthly friends. I've got some good friends here tonight, and I'm thankful for my new friends at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. But thank God there's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Amen. There is a friend tonight in the Lord God of glory, and David is interested in getting to the place where he's so near to God that friendship, my friend, is real to him in his life. Amen. Not only rubbing shoulders with God in friendship, but rubbing shoulders with God in fellowship. And I understand that friendship and fellowship go together, but amen, I think David is desiring here to get to the place where he can fellowship with God. Amen. Can I say in this world we live in, my friend, sometimes that you just, amen, there's nothing like getting that place where, amen, God is real to you and God lets you get in the throne room and God lets you get where he is and God lets you rub shoulders with him. Amen. In fellowship, what did John the Beloved say in 1 John in chapter number 1? That if we walk in darkness, my friend, we better not think that we have fellowship with the Lord. That, amen, you can be in that salvation relationship and yet know nothing about the nearness and the closeness of fellowship. Amen. I think David is interested in finding out from God how does a man, amen, experience rubbing shoulders with God in friendship and in fellowship. And let me say this tonight. Amen. I think maybe David gives us an application here about rubbing shoulders with God in the future. Amen. When he said, Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who shall abide? That deals with my friend turning aside. I'm a path and a road that one is traveling, and he might enter into a lodging place and find friendship and fellowship and then go about his journey. But when David said, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Amen. David looks beyond an earthly tabernacle. He looks beyond a physical location. And Brother Danny finds this question that's in his mind. Who's going to be able to dwell in the holy hill? Who's going to be able to gain entrance into glory? And we'll deal with this tonight in practical sense in the life of God's children tonight. And I think that, my friend, it does bear saying this evening that not everybody's going to heaven. And I know in this hour that we live, Brother Chris, everybody thinks all religions are the same. And the Baptist is the same as the Catholic, is the same as the Muslim, is the same as the Hindu, is the same as the atheist. And when it's all over, we're all going to wind up in the same place. Amen. Can I give you a good Hebrew word for that this evening? Rubbish. Amen. That's not true, my friend. Amen. We're not all headed the same place. And David, my friend, gives you an application in this question. Who is going to rub shoulders with God in the future? I'm glad where I stand tonight. And there's confidence in my soul and assurance in my faith tonight. And when I leave this world and enter into the next, amen, I will forever be rubbing shoulders with God. Amen. I don't worry about going to hell. I don't fret about, my friend, what's going to happen. I don't dread any kind of limbo or purgatory. Amen. Thank God. I'm about ready to preach right now. Amen, Brother Tony. I'm glad. However I leave this world, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I'm glad. When I kiss all these troubles goodbye. Amen. Leave all the bills behind. Leave the battles behind. Amen. Leave all the work and labor and heartache and burden of ministry behind. Thank God, in the future, amen, I'll be rubbing shoulders with the God of glory. Amen. Rubbing shoulders with God in the future. Charles Spurgeon said this as I read behind him and what he had to say about Psalm 58. He said, we must know from the Lord of the tabernacle what are the, listen this now, what are the qualifications for his service. And when we have been told of him, we shall clearly see that only our spotless Lord Jesus and those who are conformed unto his image can ever stand with acceptance before the majesty on high. And when we read this psalm tonight and we consider the context of it in verse number 1, that David wants to know what man is qualified, what man truly can enter into the presence of the Lord. At the answer that we're going to study here in a minute, and we'll make practical application in our life. When we read this as we have tonight, amen, but Gerald, there's a problem. I understand that I falter and I fail and I don't live up to what God said many a days and at times in our lives. And we're saved folk, and I'll deal with that this evening. We ought to be striving to it. My friend, at the end of the day, there's been days I've not lived up to that list. I've not met the requirements. I've not lived up to, my friend, what God said is the standard for a man to be able to rub shoulders with God. My friend, it ain't long till you look at the right hand of the throne of God in faith. And there is a high priest that has met everyone. He is the sinless one. He is the spotless one. And he has gone before you and had and entered in and rubbed shoulders with the Father. Amen. I'm glad tonight that there is one that has. It ain't the Pope and it ain't the Baptist preacher. Amen. It ain't the independent, fundamental, temperamental, judgmental, carnal Baptist of our day yet, and it's gone before, but there is a high priest who has entered in behind the veil, has met the qualification, amen, and made a way at those that enter in through him and indeed rub shoulders with God. Boy, I'm glad it ain't a hinging and add-on on me. Amen. Positionally tonight, amen, I am rooted and anchored and right now in heaven rubbing shoulders with God because of the Lord Jesus said, and my faith in him tonight, I've not entered in any other way. I've come through the door. I've come by the way, the only way. Ain't God, Brother Will, and there is as such a thing as a man and a woman, my friend, understanding through the Lord. We have entrance to rub shoulders with God. Now, here's what I've learned in my days of my Christian life studying the Bible, that what God did for me in salvation the very moment I got saved positionally, he expects me to be living out practically. Now, thank God, positionally it doesn't change it. And thank God, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus and repent of your sin, exercise repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus, and you get saved positionally, it doesn't change, it'll never change. And God gives you the Holy Ghost to be able to live out and to understand that in being saved, Lord God of glory has predestinated you in that to be conformed to the very image of the one that is able to rub shoulders with God. And soon enough, I want to be the friend of God practically. And I want to enter fellowship with God practically tonight. How the future settled because of what happened some 17 years ago. Amen. When I got saved, that'll never change. But I want to get to the place where in this earthly walk with God, I can rub shoulders with Him. How do we do it? God says, David, You've asked two real good questions. And you may not like the answer, but here it is. Amen. He said, number one, we're going to get to it tonight, and we'll get on out of here. Y'all are going to make me preach tonight if you ain't careful now. Amen. What's this? Number one, the requirements that God has for man to meet should he desire to rub shoulders with God. If you're going to take notes tonight, write it down this way. Number one, the man that is respectable can rub shoulders with God. It's interesting, the first thing that the Lord sends as an answer to David is he that walketh uprightly. He that walketh uprightly. That is, the Lord is saying, the man that is known for a life of integrity, a man that will live up to my friend and his generation, having high character and high standards. It's not the man lacking in integrity that gets to rub shoulders with God, but the man that will live his life, a man with some God in his soul, and some God in his life, a man that ain't wishy-washy and unstable and up and down, and a man that walketh uprightly. One of the great things that the Bible said about the life of Job is that, my friend, Job was a man that was perfect in his generation, a man that was upright, and a man that eschewed evil. And I say tonight that a man to live uprightly means that you live by a different standard than what the world is saying. Amen. We're not living by the world's standards tonight. Amen. This world says integrity doesn't matter, and a man's name doesn't really matter. Amen. That is man's testimony, and what others think about him is not important. And God said, David, a man that is not respectable is a man that will never rub shoulders with me. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, we ought to strive to live our lives in this generation and in this world as being men and women and young people and have some respectability. And the world thinks about you and that, amen, they ought not think, my friend, of instability, and they ought not think tonight of, my friend, of people that are lacking in the matter, amen, of fulfilling their word, and some is going to blend together tonight, amen. But David said God told him at the man that's going to rub shoulders with God is going to have a respectable life. Amen. From the pulpit, the pew, we're not seeing much of that in this hour. Now, I don't want to get hung up and ride any hobby horses tonight. Amen. If I've got 11 things I've got to give you tonight, we spend too much time. We never get done. You understand what I'm saying this evening, Brother Dave? And a man, a woman, a boy, a girl must live their life by the standards of integrity the Word of God says, not what the world says is acceptable. You can be read and be acceptable to the world and never rub shoulders with God. In fact, can I say it this way tonight? If you're rubbing shoulders with the world tonight, amen, and lacking in the matter of respectability and integrity, amen, you need not think God will ever let you rub shoulders with Him. The man that is respectable. Number two, amen, and it goes down from here. The man that is righteous. He said, amen, there's something about the respectable way that a man walks, but then there's something about the righteous way that a man works. He said, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. That is, he is committed to the habitual practice of doing right. He don't want to do wrong. He never intentionally does wrong. A man is a man that in his life is working out the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is on the inside of him. He daily strives to put down the flesh and the works of the flesh and the works of unrighteousness, that he might live a life of doing right all the days of his life. A man, he may not always live live up to it. And it's always the goal and the desire of his heart that he be a man of righteousness. And I say that ain't preached much in our day. Amen. Even in our independent Baptist churches. Amen. It seems we have brought down the standard rather than raised the standard. Amen. We don't want anybody to feel guilty and to feel bad for living unrighteous. But God said to David, it's only going to be the man that is righteous that's going to rub shoulders with me. Amen. We kind of got it in our mind in this Joe Osteen mentality of a day and a generation we live in. Well, I just go live any old way I want to. And God, understand. Do you understand that David is asking, Lord, I want to know, how do I get near you? How do I approach you and live close and rub shoulders with you? And God sends the word back. This ain't the opinion of a Baptist preacher tonight. This ain't some young punk preacher trying, amen, to work you into a corner tonight. The God of glory said, you're going to have to live a life working righteousness. Amen. You're going to have to act righteous. You're going to have to do right. You're going to have to react right. Be honest, us Baptists, it ain't them actions that's getting us. We're pretty righteous in the action. It's them reactions. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't got time bogged down on this. A man that is respectable, the man that is righteous. Amen. What's verse number 2? The man that is receptive. The Bible said, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Can I say to that? And this man that David is interested in finding out how he can rub shoulders with God. The God of glory sends the answer back and says that it's going to have to be a man that is receptive. He has got to have a regard for truth and must receive it into his bosom. He can't be rejecting truth. He can't be shoving off the Word of God. He can't be pushing aside what God has said in His Word. There can be no ounce of rebellion and rejection of what God has revealed to him about truth and about doctrine and about living. Amen. He's got to get to the place where he loves the truth and sells it not. Everybody all right? Amen. We're living in a generation, man, you can get up and preach truth and they'll sit back and here's the statements we make and they sound spiritual but they're carnal. Well, if God ever deals with me about that, I'll do it. If God ever shows that to me, I believe it. No, no, no. Amen. If God said it in His Word, whether I understand it or not, His Word is truth. I may not be able to wrap my carnal mind around what He has said, but I must accept it and receive it as truth. Amen. There's been a lot of things. Men of God have got up and preached, and it was just clear as a bell. The Holy Ghost said, that's right. And I had to say, but I don't understand why it's right. And I just had to accept it, receive it as truth, and believe it, and live it. And you know what I found? Sometimes it's down the road, it comes to light, and you go, oh, it makes complete sense now. We get the cart before the horse. Well, if I understand it, then I believe it to be true. Every word's right. Every page is right. Every verse is true. Every line is right. And you're wrong. Amen. The man, the woman, the boy, the girl, and to rub shoulders with God must be receptive to truth. He don't lie to himself. When truth comes, he doesn't reason it away out of his heart. He's a man, I'm feeling like preaching it. He's a man that receives it and considers the Word of God and studies the Word of God and takes what is taught and takes what is preached. Amen. And is a Berean Christian. Amen. Not to study to prove it wrong, but to study to prove it right. The Berean Christians didn't run back home, get their Bible out, and say, let's see if we can find a loophole here where we don't have to receive one. Paul said, the Bible said they went home and they searched the Scriptures daily. Amen. Whether those things were so. They wanted to know it was right. They believed that what Paul had declared was truth and they wanted God. Amen. They had received it and now they went home and they said, we love the truth and we want God to teach us why it's true. Amen. I made this statement. I think maybe I've made it here. I made it the other night in the youth meeting. I was preaching it over in Chaser, North Carolina. I've never had anybody in nearly 13 years of pastoring. Y'all realize in a few months I'll be here a whole year. Ain't that amazing? Ain't gonna be long, right around the corner. And almost 13 years of pastoring, I've never had anybody come to me weeping and crying, saying, "Preacher, can I see you in your office?" And go in there, Brother Dave, and them sit across the desk and say, I regret having put to practice in my life what you preached to me, what you told me and what I gave up and what I believed and what I put in my life or got out of my life. I regret having done that. Son, in nearly 13 years of pastor, I couldn't take the time tonight of people that have come weeping and crying and said, "Preacher, I wish I'd have listened. I wish I'd have done better that. I wish I'd have received that. I wish I hadn't have blown up at the truth that you declared. And now my life is in a mess and I'm hurting because I did not receive the truth." People who rub shoulders with God, that is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that must be receptive. Amen. Well, it's getting quieter by every point. I've got 11 of them. We're going to be hearing a nap burp before we get done. Amen. Psalm 15, notice with me, rubbing shoulders with God, the man that is restrained. In verse number 3, David said, "Lord, who's going to rub shoulders with you?" God said, "He that backbiteth not with his tongue." Now God just nailed every Baptist right there. There ain't no hope for any of us Baptists. He got rid of every Baptist right there in that one line. What did God say? He said he's going to have some restraint in his life to not slander and bear tales on people. He's going to have to, amen, he's going to have to, now don't get mad at me, I'm just going to be blunt and plain to you. He said he's going to have to know when to shut his mouth. Amen. He's going to have to know when he just needs to be quiet and just let it be and let God deal with it. Don't go chewing somebody's backside off. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, the man that rubs shoulders with God can't have it in his life that he'll say one thing to Gerald's face. "I'm your friend. I'm your buddy. I love you forever. Anything you go through, I'll be there all the way." And then when Gerald turns his back, amen, these run down tales are told, slander is made. Amen. God said that man ain't going to be rubbing shoulders with me. Amen. Well, ain't we having a time? Restraint. My friend, the child of God must learn how to restrain his tongue. And there is an entire chapter in the New Testament written by James, amen, about bridling the tongue and learning, my friend, how to stop your tongue and not saying things you ought not say. Amen. Do you understand? Listen to me tonight. We as Baptists have forgot. Amen. We get on this crowd of women because they wear breeches and we say, "Hey, you're going to answer to God for that," and I believe they will. Amen. We get on this crowd for the music they listen to, and I believe God, my friend, God, listen, they got an answer for that. Amen. And we get on this and that and this and that. But Paul said we're going to give an account of every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. Amen. I've met women in Baptist churches wore dresses that look like tents. Whoa! Son, their tongue stretched out a mile long. You couldn't even see the end of it. Amen. Ain't we having a time tonight? Amen. God, listen, God said he don't care about Jerry. He don't care, amen, if a lady doesn't put on a pair of breeches. He said she better not be backbiting with her tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. Preachers, church folk, deacons, Sunday school teachers. Amen. All of us got an issue with this old tongue right here.
It's the worst member of our church tonight. Worst member of our church sits inside of each and every one of our mouths. Amen. How many times, how many days, how many settings have we been in when we said something we shouldn't have said, and God said, I ain't letting you rub shoulders with me. Whoa, hallelujah. The man that is restrained, notice this tonight, the man that is respectful, the Bible said, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Who's going to rub shoulders with God? It's going to be the man that, our friend, is good and kind to those around him. Amen. Baptists, my friend, act like it's a sin to be nice to somebody. Am I right? Amen. Just because we're saved Baptists don't mean we got to be hard and cranky to deal with. There ain't nothing wrong with smiling and being nice to somebody. Amen. I know a lot of preacher friends that need to learn. Amen. That need to learn how to be respectful toward others. Amen. And I say it's just right. It's kind. And it's just right to be kind. And God said, I'm not going to rub shoulders with somebody who can't be respectful to those that are around them. Hey, we ain't all the same. We don't come from the same side of the tracks. We ain't all in the same stage of growth in our Christian life. Y'all have heard me say it, and it bears repeating again tonight. Amen. When you're a part of this church, you got to understand that, my friend, if somebody ain't living up to your standard and where you are, they got a Lord and they got a pastor, and that's all they need to get straightened out. And what we find in our churches sometimes is we get little cliques and classes, different classes of people, and they start treating each other mean. We can still be different and be respectful. Amen, that's right. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. He doesn't turn around, my friend, and do something that would be hateful or hurtful to those. Amen, listen, you're going to get hurt and we're going to hurt people, but at the end of the day, that ought not be the testimony of our life. A testimony of our life ought to be that we are respectful to those that are around us. Amen. The man that is respectful, the man that is reserved. Watch this here. The Bible said, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. Who's going to rub shoulders with God? It's going to be the man. And my friend is respectful and restrained and receptive and righteous. And my friend, the man that is respectable in society. But my friend, it'll also be the man that is reserved. David said, God said, it'll be the man that doesn't take up and run with a disgraceful rumor against his neighbor. We as, and I don't know how the Methodists do and the Catholics do. I like to preach on them, but tonight I know a whole lot about the Baptists. And we're a whole lot quicker to tell something that's bad than we are good. And I know sometimes we got to talk about and deal with things that are not pleasant to deal with. I understand that. But my friend, after we deal with it, let's just let it go. Amen. Some people, they want to sit around and talk about this and talk about that years after it's happened. God said, don't take up reproaches against your neighbor. Don't slander them. Don't run with disgraceful rumors about others. Amen. Notice with me in verse 4, who's going to rub shoulders with God? It'll be the man that is revolted. The Bible said in verse 4, and whose eyes a vile person is condemned. Now, what is God saying to David? I think he said, it'll be the one who disdains and abhors those that practice and habitually live in open evil in society. We could classify right here the sodomites. We could classify right here the drunkards. We could classify right here the shack 'em up crowd. People that have taken the law of God and things that God has blatantly said is an abomination. The man that's going to rub shoulders with God, he can't have any favorability toward those that practice open sin. Amen.
And there's a balance, and we understand that we're to love the soul and hate the sin. But you got to understand, David said, and he loved the Lord in Psalm 119. He said that he loved the law of God, and therefore he hated every evil way. And my friend, there are some things we as God's children are supposed to hate. Amen. We got this mentality today where we all just going to get around a fire and sing Kumbaya and hold hands and sway in the breeze. I'm telling you, I ain't holding hands with the sodomite. Amen. I don't want his diseases. Whoa. Amen. I'm not overlooking somebody's drunkenness and somebody's shacking and somebody's doping and somebody's violation. When a person lives as an evil person, listen, that word condemn means to disdain. It means to have a hostility toward. We ought to be downright mad about sin. Amen. We as Baptists, we kind of get a rap. Brother Mac and I was talking last night after visitation, and he made mention, he said, you understand that Calvary has a certain name in the community as being something to the effect being hard on sin. Can I say there's some worse things to be known for? Amen. And I want to be known as a loving church, and I want to be known as a church that is compassionate and trying to reach people. But can I say, amen, I'd rather be known as a church and as the high standard and hate sin, and to be known as a liberal church where anything goes. Amen. Let them say what they want. They can laugh all the way down the highway. Amen. We'll rub shoulders with God while they run to their, amen, dead carnal outfits. Amen. God will let a church rub shoulders with him and to make a stand and be, amen, be revolted by the sins of our generation. Amen. I'd rather rub shoulders with God than that crowd any day. I'm not looking for any more spineless, gutless, limp-wristed preacher friends. Amen. Amen. And I can already tell after nearly a year, amen, there ain't nobody gonna much be my friend here, be just like it was back in North Carolina, and that's fad. Amen. But I'm gonna make a stand against sin. Amen. And hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good, knowing that that gets God to rub shoulders with his people. The services we have around here, it ain't because we got fogging lights and a disco ball. Amen. You know why we have some of the good services we have around here? Because this church has made an open stand against evil people in this generation. Amen. So if we'd let up a little bit, we just wouldn't be so dogmatic about the moonshine people. Amen. Hey, they're wicked. They're wicked. They're wicked. Well, if you wouldn't be, preacher, if you just, amen, can I just preach here a minute? Well, if you wouldn't just be so strong on standards and dressing right and music and what we're going to do and not do in the church, we can really grow it. Hey, I'd rather rub shoulders with God than to have that crowd, because what we don't preach on would be what creeps into the church, and we have to rub shoulders with that. Amen. Am I right? Am I right, Brother Tony? I'm telling you we're right. Amen. Thank God for some people that are stand up and are still revolted by the sins and evil people of our day. I'm going to cry out against Osteen and Myers.
Yes.
Amen. And others. Amen. We sit here all night and call names. David said God told him it's the man that will be revolted by evil people that will get to rub shoulders with God. Amen. Well, feeling a little better right now. The man that is revolted, the man in verse 4 that is reverent, not only is he one, the man is going to rub shoulders with God, whose eyes of our person is condemned, but he said, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. The man that's going to rub shoulders with God is a man that looks at those that fear God and are trying to live right, and he gives honor to them. Can I say tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God and doing your best to fear God and live for God and live right, you ain't got to be perfect. You ain't got to live up to every standard that, my friend, we believe you ought to live up to. Amen. If you're trying to do right, we ought to honor one another. Gerald ain't my enemy. I can't go fighting Gerald and expect my friend to rub shoulders with the Lord. Amen. I don't know a whole lot about Brother Gerald, but I know this. I believe he loves God. I've been around him enough. Brother William, I believe he wants to try to do what's right. I've been around him enough, amen, to know this. And I think he wants to grow in the Lord. Amen. And so I'm not to be fighting him and dishonoring him and trying to one-up him. I am to honor him and come back safe and live this Christian life with him. Amen. I'm going to tell you why a lot of churches ain't got God, ain't rubbing shoulders with God tonight. They're too busy fighting one another. Your preacher ain't your enemy. Amen. I'll probably preach some in October, that Pastor Appreciation Month thing that we do. I don't know if y'all do it, but it's right to do. Somebody say amen. I'll probably preach then, amen, over there where Paul said, amen, the Galatians, am I now therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth. That crowd that Paul said at one time, you would have plucked your eyes out and give them to me. Now you won't honor me and you disdain the ministry that I have. You know, God ain't going to honor no church and rub shoulders with any church that tries to fight God's man. You say, you the pastor. I'm the pastor. I'm going to preach. I ain't going to go hire me no gun to come in here and preach it. I'll preach it right. Amen. Amen. It's right. And listen, there ain't no preacher going to be fighting a church and expect God to be rubbing shoulders. We ain't enemies. We're on the same side. We're wearing the same uniform. We're playing on the same side of the field. Can I get a witness? Our helmets have the same logo. Am I making sense? Amen. Listen, we're not to be trying to bust heads with one another. We ought to be honoring one another, engaging and striving together to do the work of God. We ought to give reverence one to another. Amen. Why? So we can rub shoulders with God. So God can come down and say, hey, y'all come on up here, fellowship with me a little while. Amen. The man revolted. The man, verse 4, the man that is reverent. Notice with me, verse 4, the man that is reliable. The Bible said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, he's a man you can count on. When he says something, he'll follow through with it if it hurts him. Amen. I believe we probably talk about paying bills and he keeps his word no matter what. Now we're human beings and sometimes we got good intentions and sometimes. Listen, sometimes things just, but if you're always known as a person that never follows through, God said, don't think you're going to rub shoulders with me. Amen. Man, I'd like to preach right here. Swear to his own hurt. What did James say in the New Testament? He said, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Don't say yea and live nay. Don't say nay and live yea. He said, if you're going to be right with God and rub shoulders with God, you got to be reliable. We got to be able to count on you. If you're going to tell God, I'll do this, God expects you to do it. Amen. You come make a vow to God, God says, hey, the man that rubs shoulders with me will be the man that even if it hurts him, he'll follow through and keep his word to me. Amen. The man that is reasonable. The Bible said in verse number 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury. This deals with the fact that he's not unfair in his business dealings. He doesn't try to one-up somebody. He doesn't try to take advantage. In fact, the term usury here deals with a man lending money and then coming around behind the business deal and changing the terms. And expecting somebody to give more than what they're even able to do. And we could deal with money tonight, but there's a greater application in this. We ought to be reasonable in our relationships to one another. Baptists are some of the most unreasonable people in all the world. Amen. They'll give you a standard here, and you'll do everything you can to get it. And when you finally get there, then they go, "Oh, wait a minute." It's kind of what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, "You bind burdens on people ye yourselves will not even carry." You know what Jesus was saying? You're being unreasonable. Amen. Now listen, these times, man, I got to preach stuff that I struggle with, but I struggle with it. I don't try not to overlook it. I struggle with it. I'm working on it. Matter of fact, them times y'all get real nervous and we're bearing down pretty hard usually, I'm just trying to wear myself down. I ain't got it all nailed down. Amen. But I can't stand a preacher that expect me to live one way and then won't live it himself. I need a man who's going to be consistent. I need a man who's going to shoot it straight, but ain't going to ignore his own issues at the same time. Why? Because that's an unreasonable preacher. Amen. Churches ought to be reasonable with visitors that come in. With sinners. Do you know even God is reasonable with sinners? This mentality, bless God, they ain't welcome here, do they look just like we do, is out of hell. Amen. So we can't let this crowd in, can't let that crowd in. We don't want that kind of people. Well, what kind of people do we want? Jesus, here's what God said, Isaiah chapter 1. Come now. Let us what? Reason together. God is a reasonable God. I know Baptists who, my friend, are not even near as reasonable as God is. And He's perfect. Brother Will, we ought to be reasonable individuals. God will rub shoulders with people who's just reasonable. Am I making sense? Last of all, number 11. I know this a lot tonight. My headache's about gone. I'm about quit right now. The man that is right-minded. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 5. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. What that means is, Brother Dean, he ain't bribed to believe something about somebody just for the sake of being bribed. He don't let the gifts that people give him determine the judgment he makes on people. Does that make sense? That makes sense, Brother Joe? I know some people, man, they get these friendships and they're getting stuff out of these friendships and it becomes a reward, a bribe. And they let what they're getting out of the relationship blind them to making a right-minded judgment about who their friends are. Being a pastor, I've got it for 13 years, I've got it. I hadn't had much of it here, thank the Lord. But over in my first church, I had a man come to me and he said, "Hey, I'm getting ready to come into a lot of money. I'm going to have about $1.5 million. He said, "I'm going to give you $100,000. Just as soon as I get it, I'm going to give you $100,000. You know what the deal was? He was in sin, in adultery, and he's getting ready to be found out, and he thought, "I'll just give a little bit of money. I'll give him a lot of money. $100,000 ain't a little bit." Somebody say amen. I'll give him some money, and then he'll overlook what he's about ready to find out on me. Wicked. If you're going to rub shoulders with God, you can't be fooled by that. Amen.
there's a family in my first church that they was these uppity people in society. And man, they bring us their house and feed us these big elaborate meals. Take us these big fancy restaurants. I'm talking about filet mignons that thick, son. So if you want to take me tonight, I'm a-going. Son, I ate at Prime Rib. They'd have us over at Christmas, and and I don't mean little gifts. They'd give my big old family gifts. You know what they's doing? They's trying to bribe the preacher, get in with the preacher, so they could kind of elevate and swell up in the church. Amen. They found out, old Brother Jeff ain't going to let their gifts. Amen. You have to do more than a filet mignon, bless your heart. Overlook your sin. Overlook sowing discord. Overlook, amen, squabbling and backbiting. And all. Hey, a man, a woman, a church, a young man, young lady is going to have to learn to be right-minded. Let God, let the Holy Ghost on the inside cause you to judge righteous judgment. Amen. Am I making sense? That makes sense, Brother Will. Amen. I'm ending now. Notice how this psalm ends. The Bible said, God said to David, you want to know? Here it is. Those are the 11 qualifications. And by the way, David, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. He won't slip. He won't falter. He won't be a has-been. Not so much because he does these things as it is the God that he's rubbing shoulders with. Whew. Amen. I ain't made it this far because of my, amen, abilities to live up to these qualifications. But thank God, every now and then, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, I get to live in it, rub shoulders with God. And when you're rubbing shoulders with God, you ain't going to fall. You ain't going to be moved. You ain't going to be swayed. You ain't going to slip in this Christian life when you're rubbing shoulders with God. Don't, amen, you say, boy, I ain't fail. Well, don't get the old Pharisee puffed out proud chest. Better understand it's got to do with the gods you've been hanging around. The gods you've been living near makes it possible for you and I to never be moved. Ain't you glad God lets us rub shoulders with Him? Amen. I'm glad in Jesus Christ and by the grace of God we can rub shoulders with the Lord. Have you rubbed Him today? Amen. One of our ladies come to me, I think it was last week, and she just was crying with tears of joy about how real God had been. Can I say that thrills me as a pastor? Thrills me as a pastor. They ain't even members yet. Right, Junior and Dolores, yet. Capital Y, capital E, capital T, yet. But they're going to be, I think. Junior told me the other day that on Wednesdays, he'll go over there on his lunch break and just pray, God, meet with us tonight. Meet with us tonight. Help our preacher. Come down in the service and give us something. That's what he's... You know what? You know really what? Can I paraphrase what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, rub shoulders with us. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad God comes by every now and then? Just rub shoulders. Ain't nothing like it. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the good grace of God. Lord, I want to be faithful to your word. Lord, I want to be clear. I want to be plain. I want to teach it right how you give it to us. And Lord, I pray you take our thoughts tonight and Lord, confirm them to be truth in the hearts of your people. God, I pray that Lord, you'd put it within the heart of this church, Lord, as it's been for years. Lord, to guard, Lord, that desire to rub shoulders with God and help, Lord, each of us as individuals, Lord, to live lives, Lord, that would be, Lord, up to the standards you've set and the qualifications you've given. Help us, Lord, to lean in on Jesus, to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. that, Lord, we could rub shoulders with you in our daily lives. Lord, we want to be near. We don't want to be far. We want to be near to you. And I pray, God, that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I ain't preached like myself tonight, but I hope we made sense. I want us to pray as we get ready to leave tonight. It's good to see Brother Wade this evening.